Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Bosk, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 266 of The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, all about looking at life through some very difficult lenses. Difficult because, well, it doesn't go with the flow, it doesn't go with the mainstream. This is ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Despite difficulties, despite torture, and even genocide, the ability to look forward and look at it positively. That is a way of the Armenian Church. It is what we call Armadoxy because it's polished up for today. So sit back and relax right now. We're going to be taking a next step. Well, good to have you with us right now. I am broadcasting from beautiful Arizona in the United States of America. Just a beautiful piece of land over here. I don't know what it is. It's just there's something that draws me to it. A little bit on the downside, there's just too much going on in life, and I hope that we'll be able to pick up a few points today. It's going to be a little bit different today, I think, today's next step. There'll be a few reflections, and we'll get through.
Almost cut my hair. Happened just the other day.
I'm one of those men that is kind of sentimental, that has a difficulty when it comes with issues of cutting hair. I don't know what it is. Even ever since I was a kid, I think I had a hard time with almost cutting my hair. Well, got around to cleaning up some facial hair this past week. Yes, actually shaved my mustache and goatee, which I'm bringing up because here in the Armenian Orthodox communion, usually, and this is and I'm going to talk a little bit about this, but usually it is a sign of the priesthood. In fact, in many of the ancient stories or folklore within the Armenian community, you'd hear about how priests would be disgraced by cutting off their beard. Now, I have to say that in my ministry, I've known a few, not too many, I've known a few Armenian priests without beards, but here's an interesting thing. There was an article in one of the encyclopedias. Now, I'm going back a while, but and I can't even remember which encyclopedia, but it said Armenian clergy. You'd open it up, and there was a picture of a full-bearded man, which would be the bishop, and then one in a goatee, which would be the priest. And this is from childhood. I remember these pictures, and I just remember that. And in my 30 years as a priest, I've known maybe a handful of priests that have never sported any facial hair. The rest have all had beards or goatees. And this week, I don't know, something got into me, and I said, let's take it all off. So we took it all off, even the mustache. Now, it's been since I was 18, maybe almost 40 years since I haven't had a mustache. Kind of feels unusual, different when you look in the mirror, but it's coming back. It's coming back. It's all temporary. But I thought it'd be a nice little way way of starting off things today. I'm kind of like in a different funk right now. So let me share with you a few things that are going on. And in particular, well, about something that we like to do here, and that's called connecting the dots, putting it all together, kind of like finding ways. You know, a lot of times we're challenged because we have different ideas or different ways of viewing life. You look at different societies, and this has really been one of my favorite things in college growing up. One of my favorite subjects was anthropology, because it gave us an opportunity to realize that there are so many different societies, and what may be right in one society is not right in another, but still societies do have rules, and those rules are difficult sometimes when you want to bend them to meet your needs, and there is a lot of pain that goes along with that. So now, how do you connect those dots? Last night I saw a movie called A River Flows Through It, or River Goes Through It, I think it is. Runs Through It, excuse me. And actually, it's on today's Sunsash. And it is a writer, Norman MacLean, who writes this. And, I mean, just a very emotional movie. Very emotional in the sense that it's very deep and just simple emotions of caring, of loving, of having relationships that are so beautiful and then at the same time will hurt. And well, today's Sunsash, it says in Montana there are three things you can't be late for: church, work, and fishing. And I like that. That was a cute little thing. But at the end of the movie, it really came all together. And I want to just quote this last part. This is from Norman MacLean. It says, "Eventually all things merge into one, and a river runs through it. The river was cut by the world's great flood and runs over rocks from the basement of time. On some of the rocks are timeless raindrops. Under the rocks are the words, and some of the words are theirs. I am haunted by waters." You know, it meant a lot to me just in the context of the movie, and I would strongly recommend you see this. I think it's about 10 years old or so, maybe about 15, 20 years old, I don't know, and it's available everywhere. A river runs through it. But it gave me a chance once again to really kind of think about what we're doing within this ministry. And I think that in the next few weeks, you know, I promised you at the 10th anniversary, but things got a little bit hectic, and things are a little bit hectic. But I think that we're in for a change. And perhaps this next step is time for just a step to walk, a step to move away, and really put it to the test. It's enough to talk about it, but you really need to put it to the test. When I heard these words last night, and a river runs through it, it brought to mind that there are so many parts of our lives that really, they're dots, and seemingly they seem disconnected. Seemingly they're disconnected. But who's the person that connects them? It's you. And you're the only one that can connect all those dots. You sometimes look for others to connect them for you. And I think this is one of the big problems of religion. We try to put it all together and say, okay, see, Jesus connected the dots. Well, he did in a very specific way. Or you might look at Buddha and you say that, okay, he connected the dots. He was able to take different portions of life. For me, this is connecting the dots has always been fundamental to what I do within the church, because as I shared with you in the past, one of my earliest projects, assignments, was the unified field theory. And this is something that my dad, reading Scientific American, would always talk about. The idea that all of these different theories, theory of gravity, of light, of the small electrons, they all, can they come together? Is there some rule, a unified field theory that kind of governs everything that we do? Well, certainly we can talk about it in terms of physics, but how about in terms of emotion? How about in terms of relationships? How about in terms of people trying to get along? and you look at the world and you see, okay, what's going on? And I always felt that, you know, if you needed to find that unified field theory, why not start from the basics and start it off with love? Is love something that we could say is the same for everyone? And then you divide love and you say, well, no, love is even divided. There are different types of love. There's erotic love. There is filial love. There's agape love. And then someone comes along and says, hey, you know, maybe love isn't that. Maybe love is more complex, and it is like the atom with its neutron and its proton and its electrons flowing around, but all of them dependent on one another. And so therefore, agape, eros, and filial love may be all dependent on one another, and being able to find that within perhaps a relationship, or as I've shared with you in the past, in a piece of music. You know, you play a piece of music and tears come to your eye and you're overwhelmed with the feelings. And then the next question, well, how do you reconcile with those overwhelming feelings? How do you deal with those feelings? And interestingly enough, last Sunday, Vartivar, you know, it's the transfiguration of Christ comes up. And what is that transfiguration? I'm going to talk about it in a few minutes, but let's also begin with the date of last Sunday. It was 7/7. It was July 7th. And as you know, that in our ministry, we designated that as the Sunday of Forgiveness, Day of Forgiveness. And 6 years ago, we actually had a conference on 777 talking about the power of forgiveness. And forgiveness is a deep one. You forgive others. You need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive all around you. And basically, this is how we reconcile with putting those three different types of love together. How do you put them together? How do you understand love? Well, it begins with this basic idea of being forgiving, of being able to let go, being able to forgive and not forget, but being able to move forward. We said a lot, didn't we? At least I did. Listen, I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back with some ideas about the transfiguration, some other stuff that's been going on. We'll have some fun like we always do. I'm going to start it off with a song that is an old traditional Armenian song called Nubar Nubar. And this is probably, so many people have heard this in different forms. Here's a new version, not a new version, a different version that I think you will enjoy. I did.
Go!
Element Band doing Nubar Nubar, a traditional Armenian folk song done pretty nicely, I think. Element Band led by Arata Banjan, good friend of this ministry. We'll put a link on today's show notes so you could not only check out that song, but check out all of the great music coming out of Element. Okay, like I said, it's a little bit different today. I'm going to be talking here and there, and I hope you'll be with me. Last Sunday was Vartavar, and I woke up that morning checking out the stories that were coming out of Armenia. And it was, well, you know, we have a son that's in Armenia, Christopher's in Armenia, so we were looking at the different things coming out, and then a thing caught my eye was this CivilNet. You know, it's very... very secular kind of organization, obviously, but they've done now a feature on Vartavar, and you know they're showing people splashing themselves. And then I look at the comments on Facebook, and definitely one more reason why I'm pulling the plug on my Facebook account. It just like it gets to you after a while. It just like kind of like it's like, what is this all about? People having comments about, you know, less splashing water and everything. And basically, the story of Vartavar is lost. The story of transformation, even of the water, of the cleansing. The idea that the water is a new beginning and an opportunity for us to be born again. Think about that. In water we are born. And this is a physical birth as well as spiritual birth when it comes time for our baptism. And certainly at the time of the Transfiguration. Well, look, check out the story of the Transfiguration. It's a very interesting story. It comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. And in Luke, but I'm going to use the Matthew tradition right now, Matthew chapter 17. And in that story, it's interesting, Jesus takes three of his disciples, not the 12. He takes three of them to have this opportunity to see him being transfigured. And he goes up to a mountaintop, and there he is transfigured. And it says that he appeared white. He radiated light. And basically... he was giving us a glimpse of his divinity. And there stood with him Moses and Elijah, the two symbols of the old tradition, one of them being the symbol of the law and one of them being the symbol of the prophets. And in the middle stood Jesus. And he is radiating light, blinding light. And Peter, James, and John, the three disciples, are witnessing that. And a voice is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son." And basically, between the law and the prophets, you're seeing Christ radiating. You're seeing God revealed. Okay? Interesting. This is why it's one of the major feast days of the Armenian church tradition. God is revealed at that point. It's another theophany. And here's what I want to bring your attention to. In this story, it's very interesting because what happens is Peter looks up at Jesus and says, "Lord, would you like us to build some tents? One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses." And suddenly right then, everything goes away and it's all back to normal. This light, everything has gone away. Now, think about this for a moment, okay? What happens here? We're given a chance to look at the divine. We're given a chance to see something ultimate, beautiful. And what do? We choose the mundane. Peter's given a chance to see the divine. He's able to see the light shining at him. Oh, he says, "Lord, excuse me, would you like me to build some tents?" And I think this is what happens to us. We get caught up with the mundane. And this is where I am right now. That funk that I was talking about earlier. This is the funk that I'm in, and I need to change it because I'm realizing that, you know, our lives are filled with so much of the mundane that we fail to see the beauty. We fail to see the revelations. We fail to see God being revealed. We fail to see the light that is blinding and transforming. And this is where we need to be. When I say this, I'm talking as a priest. I'm talking as a servant of the church. I'm talking as somebody who's understanding that life is full of the mundane. And we have an opportunity to see that beauty, to see God's graces. And we keep opting for these things that keep bringing us down, for the darkness. And so when I say I'm in a funk right now, it's yes, I am. Because where is our church? Where am I in the church? How do I make that happen? What do I bring to that equation? And that's a difficult one. Because if we're not bringing it, then you have a real crisis of faith. You have a crisis of being. Because what is this life all about? What am I doing? And this is a question that I ask, and I know you're asking. If you're sitting there across from this, I know you're at some deep level of asking, okay, what is my purpose? And we go through these crises throughout our lives. I think Paul Tillich talked about the courage to be, right? And you have them at different points in life. As a young person, you're trying to find yourself. Entering midlife, you're going through the things of your relationships with spouses, with friends. At later life, you're looking back on a life and saying, okay, and what now? What to expect? And so there's all different areas where we start looking at life, evaluating life, and somehow it's like the bread that needs doughing. That needs kneading that begins with as a dough, right? It needs kneading. And you need to knead it, and then what happens? It starts rising, and it starts baking, and it starts filling up. You start smelling it, you start tasting it, and you realize that this is good. In the same way, that kneading process goes on throughout life. Because what you do is, like, you learn from one place. And so it's basically the starter. Okay, let's call it the starter. Right? So after you've consumed that bread and it was so good and you've smelled it and everything, but you have a little bit of the dough that you put into the next one and you begin the process again. And you can't be scared to start those processes again. Those are good things. It means you're living. It means you've succeeded in not dying. Because the dead will only decay. But the living will change, will evolve. And that evolution process is not something we need to be afraid of. Let me share with you something. This past week I was asked to be on a task force. And I appreciate these so much because it really means that people want to see change. Task force for the diocese, for the Armenian Church. In 30 years as a priest, in 10 years before that serving as a deacon, and my active life within the church, basically 40 years been dealing with task force, been dealing with evaluating. And at a point you have to say, okay, we've evaluated enough, we need to move forward. I'm so proud that this week we are initiating a divine liturgy that is participatory, and this our archbishop lent his name to it. He drove it, he moved it, and this week it is going to be put into action, where in each of the churches the divine liturgy is going to be sung by the people, the congregation, rather than just a choir. And this is a bold step that is being taken, and I think that it's necessary not only to evaluate but to take these steps. And so when I was asked to be on this task force, I thought about that. Okay, we evaluate, we analyze, but who's going to take those steps? And until you can find people that are willing to take those steps, until you can find people that are brave enough, that feel good enough in their skin to be able to say, okay, I'm strong enough to take these steps, it's a difficult thing to just analyze. Because then you just got a bunch of data that you've collected, and then you say, okay, well, we did something. And I think that that's really true not only of the church, but in all organizations. It's that need to do something. So we wish everybody the best when you analyze these things, but it's also important for us to really move to action. And let me leave with this thought too, that I was reading Atlas Shrugged the other day. I know, don't get excited. Last time I told you I was reading Fountainhead, I heard from some of our listeners, you know, what are you talking to? Who is this? Ayn Rand, you can't do Ayn Rand. You know, you're a Christian, you're a priest. You know what? You got to mellow out. You got to read everything. You got to understand everything. You've got to come to terms with everything. You've got to connect those dots because the river flows through it, right? She was talking about, in Atlas Shrugged, they were talking about this new metal coming about. This new steel with which they were going to be doing the railroad tracks. And at one point, the developer of the steel, it was challenged because people were saying, okay, what are you going to do with that steel? And he was going to build a bridge. And the comment was made that, okay, you've got a new steel that has new qualities. The idea of having that newness is not to take that steel and create the old wood bridge made out of steel. That's not the purpose of it. Purpose is not to take a wooden bridge and just recreate it as a steel bridge. No, the steel gives you new opportunities to expand your horizons, to expand your imagination, to be able to see things differently. And certainly, this is very pertinent to the Armenian Church, very pertinent to the Orthodoxy, very pertinent to all the traditional churches. You've got new ways of seeing things. It's not about changing message, but it's a new way of seeing things. And I always bring up this example last year of, I think I talked about it just recently too, the muscular dystrophy telethon. And it was just such an eye-opener when Jerry Lewis, who was a fixture and had raised over $1 billion, couple $1 billion for muscular dystrophy, was basically put aside, and they said that we can't have a 21-hour telethon in a 140-character world. Basically, people are tweeting. People want quick answers. People want things we need to be able to deliver. And despite how much you had raised in the past, you need to start looking at the new means. And the same way with the church. I think that we are at a revolution which Apostle is really at the forefront. We might be even ahead of the game. I think you're going to see this coming about. And actually, you do start seeing people with new podcasts, with new broadcasts, and so on. But think of it in these terms, too. That every step of the way, people have rejected and have had, have had a difficulty adapting to the change. And you could imagine the first time that the oral traditions were put to writing. What? We're going to be putting it on papyrus, you know? Or the first times that these beautiful stories were put into frescoes or into icons or into stained glass. And these became means of giving expression to an old story. And the first time that the printing press took place, and so no longer handwriting was necessary to transmit the faith. And then the printing press, the Bible, gave way to audio tapes. Remember those? The tapes. And then into videos. And certainly today we have an opportunity with technology to be able to push it to the next limit. And I think that's what we're doing. And I'm at a point right now where I need to really say, okay, we've done that. We've taken the next step. What now? Where do we go from here? So I want you to bear with me. I'm going to end it today because, like I said, I'm kind of not feeling too good. And I want to just throw out a bunch of ideas, and I would love to hear from you what you think about those ideas. I do want to say that I am in Arizona just a couple days ago. An immense tragedy. 19 firefighters were killed here in Arizona. And there was a picture that I put up on my Facebook page. I'm going to put it on our show notes too. Do check it out. It was such a sobering picture for me. It is the American flag at half staff. It was right when we entered into Arizona. It was at the border. And I saw this just waving and the hot, hot Arizona wind blowing it. You realize that these people had given up something precious, but they had put it on the line because they believed in it. It really challenges us, doesn't it? It challenges me, certainly. Like, at what point do we put everything on the line? Follow the dreams of your heart. And I want to feel it too. On an island in the sun, we'll be playing and having fun. And it makes me feel so fine, I can't control my brain. We'll be right back.
this is Anush, and I'm excited about my new podcast, Inside the Pomegranate. I happen to love pomegranates, not only for the incredible fruit that they are and how pretty they are, but for the beautiful symbolism that they stand for. The pomegranate is one of the most recognizable symbols for our homeland of Armenia. In Armenian mythology, it was the symbol of fertility and good fortune, and a guardian against the evil eye. This beautiful fruit adorns our stone-carved khachkars and manuscripts. Go to any Armenian art event and you're sure to find pomegranates in the artwork. It's our symbol. For me, it's a symbol of my heritage, and it's also the symbol of imagination, creativity, and life. I mean, open up a pomegranate and look at the seeds that spill out. Each one is ripe with hope, possibility, and sweetness. It's a lot like life, right? My life is full and juicy like a pomegranate, and that's what this podcast will be about. Life, ripe and juicy. So I hope you tune in weekly and take a peek inside the pomegranate. We'll talk about all kinds of things like life, family, applied Christianity, helping others, creating, imagining, wellness. It's all here inside the pomegranate.
You want to check out Inside the Pomegranate. It's available at epostle.net, where you'll find all kinds of stuff, all kinds of good stuff that is really challenging us to think in different directions. Hey, if you want to get involved with the Epostle family, here is Susie to tell you how you can do that.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, this brings us to the end of today's show. I do ask you to please listen to what Susie says. Get involved with the Apostle. Get the word out. Share it with your friends. Tell people about it, because this is dynamic. This is new. This is something that is really so necessarily. It is sorely needed within our communities. I know today was like a shortened version. There's so much to talk about, so much to share. But I've been doing a lot of writing, and I hope that you'll be able to follow along on some of the blogs, too. I know that it makes it easy when we have an audio blog, and you could listen to it, put it on in your car, you could listen to it at your convenience, and reading is a little bit more tiring, but I'm getting a little bit charged writing, and I think it's necessary as a next step for our ministry, so I hope you'll bear with me. Listen, I want to thank you for joining us today, and appreciate that you took the time. I look forward to hearing from you. I do read everything that you send me. I'm sorry, I don't get back to everybody as much as I'd like to, but if you hang in there enough, I do get back to everybody, because it's just a matter of time, and I just really appreciate all of you being with us today. Hey, listen, for the wonderful team that put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Vahe, our webman, this is Father Vazgen, inviting you to join us again next week, when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
You're seeing the same star as we are.